In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
No matter how many times we hear today's gospel, I think that somehow we still find a way to set it aside. Judge not, lest you be judged. The way you judge others will be how you're judged. The standard you use to measure others will be the standard you use to measure you. But most especially, why are you trying to take a speck out of your brother's eye when you have a log in your own? We judge, I don't know, maybe scores or hundreds of times every day. Driving down the road, watching the news, reading something in the paper, going to church, even other people, see people on the street, we're constantly evaluating, critiquing. In some cases, when we're getting worked up about something, we're absolutely certain that in this case, we're right, that the thing that we're judging, evaluating, upset about is really, that's really important. It might be really important, but we're convinced it's really important, so important that I see it clearly, and that there's not any log in my eye that's preventing me from seeing it as it really is. That's exactly the kind of case Jesus has in mind we warn us about when we think that we see things clearly. Yeah, it's so hard to escape this sense of judgment. It so pervades our life. There was a monk on Mount Athos that had a vision in the 19th century of hell. And it's recorded, and it says he saw this vision of hell, and there were all of these children in hell, and they were judging their parents, complaining about their parents. The reason the children had done misdeeds and were not measuring up to the kind of person they should be is because their parents didn't raise them right. They were complaining about their parents because it's their parents' fault. They were the way they were. But then the monk also saw all the parents, and they were judging the children and explaining that the reason they were parenting the way they did is because the children behaved the way they did. It was the children's fault. And they saw all these parishioners, and they were complaining and judging the priests and the bishops. And he saw all the bishops and the priests, and they were complaining and judging the parishioners. He saw the employees judging their employers, and the employers judging the employees, masters and servants. He saw the monastic judging the abbesses and abbots, and the abbots and abbesses judging the monastic. This was a picture of hell. Very striking, because it means that we get quite a good taste of what hell's like here in this world when we judge other people, when we get worked up and bound up in this powerful sense of really self-righteousness, but we think righteousness, righteous anger, righteous indignation. We know what's right. We're so certain, so confident, so clear in our mind that we're not the one in fault. So we have to stop this. How do we stop it? Well, the very first way to stop it is simply to resolutely refuse to judge. Every time we're inclined to judge something little, something small, as soon as we become aware that we're doing it, we simply have to remember this verse, this our Lord's teaching from the Sermon on the Mount. We just ask ourselves, ask Christ, Lord, show me the log in my own eye. I can't presume that I can see clearly. We have to at least stop and pause. The very first thing is to stop and pause. Sooner the better, because the more we get ourselves get worked up, then the more difficult it is to stop. Snowball rolling down the mountain. So first pause, stop. Talk to Christ than to ourselves. Even then, do ask ourselves these questions as well. And then we can make some benefit from St. Paul's reflections on our Lord's words, at least that's how I take it to be in the opening verses of chapter 2 of the letter to the Romans. He says, "You are without excuse, O man, you who judge." And then he clearly has this right in mind. Without excuse means you can't use judgment as an excuse for your own behavior. Because he says, in what you judge another, you condemn yourself. You judge another, and that judgment is your condemnation. In that very same thing, in what you judge, you condemn yourself. And then he explains that. He says, for you who judge, do the very same things. That really shows how blind we are. Because when we judge another person for something, one thing we're absolutely certain of is we don't do that. We usually say something like, I know I have my sins, I know I have my faults, I know I've, you know, I've had my troubles, but, and then this other thing is really important, that big log in the other person's eye. But St. Paul makes it so clear that the very same thing, not just some sin here, there, that's kind of little and not so important, the very same thing I'm judging this person for is in me. Not just in me, but I do it. I think probably most of us don't believe that. We probably don't believe St. Paul. We don't really believe that we do the things that we're judging other people for. But here it is that we can use this verse to call upon God to say, Lord, show me. I'm so blind that I can't see that I do the very thing I'm judging this person for. It's got to be true because St. Paul said it. So Lord, you have to show me. Before I can judge this person, you have to show me, in me, what I do that is the very same thing I'm judging this person for. And if we're relentless with that request, we pause our judging and we stop to ask God to show us what our life is like in this very respect. And we refuse to judge until God opens our eyes to that. Then we're in much better shape to put the brakes on the judging and all of the inner emotions that go with it. We're also in a much better place to then actually complete our Lord's words in the Sermon on the Mount when he says, when you take the log out of your own eye, then you can take the speck out of your brother's eye. Meaning that there really is what you saw, really was something there. But his words are so important because we're not able to help another person. We think we're helpful. We think that we fool ourselves into thinking that we're really trying to be helpful by correcting other people, setting them straight, letting them know the truth about themselves, as if that would be helpful. But all of the while, it's just us covering up those sins in our own life. It doesn't matter if we're judging government figures or media or ecclesiastical figures or whatever, neighbors. It doesn't matter who it is, family members. That judgment is the cover-up of what's going on in our own life. And so God has to heal us before we can bring some healing to others. We're familiar with this phrase, hurting people hurt people. When somebody hurts somebody else, even if it looks malicious, what's really going on is that deep down underneath, they're hurting. And this outward manifestation of that pain is often quite ugly, violent, harsh, verbally or even physically. But what needs to happen ultimately is that we need to be healed of that inner pain if we're really going to stop the outer expression of it that results in hurting other people. So hurting people hurt people, but people who are being healed by Christ, healing people who are being healed, are able to heal others. St. Paul says at the beginning of his second letter to the Corinthians that God comforts us in our afflictions so that we can comfort others with the comfort that God comforted us. Not comfort from our own selves, but we go through this affliction and experience God's healing, God's comfort, God's care and nurture in our life, then we have something to give to another person. Otherwise, it's just our own strength, our own human wisdom, and really our own kind of judgment and cleverness and certainty and confidence. And so our Lord's warning about judgment isn't just a warning to, as it were, to keep us out of hell, to show us what hell looks like. Everyone judging everyone, everyone pointing their finger at everyone else. It's really the prescription whereby we can really be a benefit to other people. We can really help people have the spectrum removed from their eye. But the process is one wherein we have to first be willing to be healed. We have to first come to Christ to receive His words about our life. And be able to be honest with Him and admit before Him our need to be healed. And as that happens, then we're able, as it were, as our Lord says, to see more clearly. And in our doing that, we'll see that our attitude toward this other person or these other people change. We don't view them the same way. We may still see the very same wrong, the very same sin, but we don't see it in the same way. And we don't have all of the attendant emotions and feelings and anger and bitterness and this kind of internal turbulence that's associated with judgment. And so we can now, as it were, judge them in a way that we would want to be judged, with compassion, with understanding, with healing, with humility, with an awareness that we ourselves have walked the same road before them, and we know the difficulty that's involved in having these sins and these wrongs rooted out of our souls, not just kind of covered up with superficial actions, but really rooted out of our souls. And so we'll see clearly. The facts might be the same, but the attitude, the vision, the emotions, the compassion will be radically different. So our Lord's teaching is so important for us, especially in this world now where everybody wants to judge everybody. It's such a crazy world. Everybody knows what's right. May God help us, each and one of us here, in the life of the church. This isn't the message that we expect the world to adopt or proclaim. No, it's a world that requires Christ, the Holy Spirit, dwelling in us. It's the message for the church. It's for us to live this way. And if we learn to live this way, this freedom from judgment of others, and because God is healing us, we're able to bring that healing to others, then the world will really stand up and look and listen at what the church has to say. Other than that, why should the world pay any attention to the church? If we're just like them, if we judge and act toward others just like the world acts toward others, we have the same things to say about national political events as the world has to say, what difference does it make? If we can live this life, it will make a very great difference indeed.